Dr. Pinsky dictating an IME on August 5 regarding a female named Makena, M-I-K-E-E-N-A, Jones. Makena Jones is a 50-year-old woman who reports she was injured in a work-related motor vehicle collision on 9-19-19. Apparently, she was the restrained driver of a vehicle that was hit from behind. But this caused her to hit her head on the windshield. She believes she injured her head, neck, and low back and went to AtlantiCare emergency room the same day. She had further evaluation but remains unaware of her final diagnosis. She did accept an injection but did not undergo any surgery in this case. She is no longer receiving active treatment. Ms. Jones admitted that in 2017 she was involved in a car accident from which she sustained injuries in her back and to her leg. She did not describe the treatment she received at that time. She denies any subsequent problems or injuries to the involved areas. New paragraph. As per the records provided, Ms. Jones was seen by orthopedist Dr. Christini on 12-2-19. Make that 12-3-19. He was unclear whether she underwent diagnostic studies at AtlantiCare Regional Medical Center after the accident. But he performed an exam and recommended lumbar spine x-rays, physical therapy, and orthopedic specialist consultation. He also learned she had undergone EMG and nerve conduction velocity studies by Dr. Abrams in the past and was diagnosed with carpal tunnel syndrome. On exam, Danelle's sign was equivocal at the carpal tunnels bilaterally. She reported following the motor vehicle collision, she noticed the onset of severe headaches. Dr. Castini recommended repeat electrodiagnostic studies and neurologic consultation. He did not describe the petitioner's interim treatment except for going to the emergency room on a single occasion. In fact, he stated no further treatment has been carried out since the date of the accident in question. If she had been severely injured, this is quite peculiar. New paragraph 3320. She was seen orthopedically by Dr. Islinger. He noted the exam by Dr. Christini. On this visit, she complained of 10/10 pain as burning in the neck and upper extremity. She denies any significant issue to her neck prior to the incident in question. She did suffer from high blood pressure, non-insulin-dependent diabetes, and anxiety disorder. She did not convey that at the point of impact she struck her head on the windshield as she does currently. He performed x-rays of the shoulders that showed significant joint arthropathy, but there is no other bony pathology. This does not appear to be where she is symptomatic. He obtained cervical spine x-rays showing significant degenerative changes with ankylosis of the anterior vertebral bodies. He opined she had symptoms related to cervical spine issues. He did not believe her shoulders were symptomatic or have any significant pathology. X-ray showed severe pre-existing degenerative changes with ankylosis of the anterior bodies in the cervical spine. With that said, she denied any significant problems in terms of symptoms, pain, or radicular type complaints prior to the incident in question. Therefore, he opined that at least some of her current symptomatology was due to this event. He recommended EMGs and CV as well as an MRI of the cervical spine. He also recommended a referral to a spine surgeon. surgeon. Period. New paragraph. On 5/12/20, as Jones was evaluated by Dr. Goldstein, period, she described being the seatbelt the driver of a vehicle that was struck from the rear by a car that was stopped behind her. Period, the third car struck the vehicle behind her, which then struck her vehicle. Period, she was taken from the scene of the accident to AtlantiCare emergency room, where she was evaluated and released. Period, she denied any prior history of similar pain before this event. Period, she did have a lumbar injury in 2012 when involved in an earlier rear-end motor vehicle accident. Period, at that time, she was treated with medications and spinal injections, after which her symptoms resolved completely. Period, she had not had any treatment for her recent injury. Period. She continued to work following the injury until March 16th, when she stopped working due to her son being home from school associated with the COVID pandemic. Period, history was also remarkable for PTSD, comma, type 2 diabetes mellitus, comma, anxiety, and depression, comma, and left carpal tunnel syndrome. Period. He performed a clinical exam and reviewed the available medical documentation. Period. He recommended x-rays of the cervical lumbar spine as well as MRI studies of both regions. But he also advised an EMG of the left upper extremity. Period. On 7/16/20, she underwent an EMG by Dr. Gottfried to be inserted here. Period. New paragraph on 8/1/20, she had a lumbar MRI to be inserted. Period. That same day, she had a cervical MRI also to be inserted. Period. New paragraph on 9/8/20, Ms. Jones returned to Dr. Goldstein. Period. He noted the results of these diagnostic studies. Period. He also performed cervical lumbar spine x-rays in the office that will be inserted here. Period. He opined the patient appeared to have a component of diffuse idiopathic skeletal hypertrophy manifested in the cervical spine. Period. This may be increasing stresses at C7-T1, where she has localized degenerative pathology with disc osteophyte complex. Period. It would appear that a bulk of the paresthesias in the left upper extremity are the result of underlying carpal tunnel syndrome. Period. EMG did not demonstrate cervical radiculopathy. Period. In the lumbar spine, she had well-localized degenerative pathology at 05-S1, with the left side of disc osteophyte complex impinging upon the left S1 nerve root. Period. However, she did not have left-sided radicular complaints or findings. Period. He opined the degenerative pathology is felt to be contributing to the patient's ongoing lumbar discomfort. Period. He then recommended she be seen by a pain specialist. Period. She remained out of work on unemployment insurance, but he did not impose any specific work restrictions. Period. She returned on 10/7/20 when she said her employer did not have liability or workers' compensation insurance, so she had to hire a lawyer to pursue treatment and was currently on unemployment. Period. He ascertained some more details of the accident. Period. She was driving her work van and was stopped at a red light. Period. She was wearing a seatbelt and the vehicle was struck from behind. Period. She denied loss of consciousness. Period. She was seen at the emergency room where she was treated and released. Period. She reported two previous motor vehicle accidents. appeared there was one just prior to Hurricane Sandy and then one following it. Appeared these resulted in lower back injuries, as well as injuries to her right knee and left elbow. Appeared she denied cervical spine symptoms as a result of these injuries. Appeared it sounded as if she was treated with interventional pain management modalities, and her symptoms eventually resolved. Period. In this visit, that was actually with Dr. Goldstein's associate named Dr. Holzberg, H-O-L-T-Z-B-E-R-G, recommended a trial of physical therapy for both the cervical and lumbar spines. Period. Ultimately, she may benefit from facet injections. Period. There were no specific work restrictions he would offer. Period. She was going to follow up after her course of physical therapy. Period. On 11/18/20, she saw Dr. Holzberg again. Period. He recommended cervical epidural steroid injection. Period. New paragraph on 6/23/21, she returned with symptoms in her neck, shoulder, left upper arm, common low back, common left wrist, hand and thumb, common left index and middle finger, as well as the ring finger and small fingers. Period. History was remarkable for right knee arthroscopy. Period. He diagnosed cervicalgia with spondylosis with radiculopathy and likely cervical facet syndrome and occipital neuralgia, comma, low back pain consistent with lumbar facet syndrome, comma, and cervical pain. Period. They then agreed to pursue an epidural steroid injection. Period. This was accomplished on 8/5/21. Period. She returned. That she was scheduled to return on 8/18/21, but was a no-show. But this was also the case relative to a visit scheduled for 9/1/21. Period. Physical exam. Extremities upper. In light of her clothing, there was no direct visualization of the upper extremities. Period. The rest of that section is normal. Extremities lower. In light of her clothing, there was limited direct visualization of the lower extremities. Period inspection did reveal a left bunion deformity. Period motion of the right knee was from 50 to 120 degrees with crepitus. Period she admitted that she needs a total knee replacement. Period motion of the left knee as well as both hips and ankles was full in all planes without crepitus or tenderness. Period spine cervical. Active rotation right was 60 degrees and left to 65 degrees, but was otherwise full in all spheres. Period, she had anticipatory tenderness to palpation about the left trapezius in the absence of spasm, but there was none on the right or in the midline. The rest of that is normal, thoracic normal, lumbosacral. She changed positions fluidly and at time declined attempting to squat, secondary to her knee issues. Period. There was non-localizing and non-reproducible tenderness to palpation throughout this region. The rest of that section is normal. Impressions. On 9/19/19, Makina Jones was involved in a work-related motor vehicle collision when her vehicle was struck from the rear. Pritchard currently states this caused her head to hit the windshield, but this is not borne out in the documentation. Pritchard, it was demonstrated that she did not experience loss of consciousness. Pritchard, Ms. Jones was seen at Atlantic Care Emergency Room afterwards. Period, she then did not have treatment again until presenting to Dr. Christini on 12/3/19. Period. He offered treatment recommendations. Period, she was then seen by Dr. Islinger and Dr. Goldstein. Period, Dr. Gottfried performed an EMG on 7/16/20 to be inserted here. Period, new paragraph. her cervical and lumbar spine MRIs will be inserted here. Here she did accept a cervical epidural injection on 8/5/21, but was non-compliant in follow-up with Dr. Holzberg. Period. New paragraph, the current exam found there to be decreased range of motion by the right knee with crepitus, unrelated to the subject event. Period. There was only minimally decreased range of motion about the cervical spine, where Sperling's maneuver was negative for radiculopathy. Period. She had full range of motion of the thoracic and lumbar spine. Her provocative maneuvers were negative for clinically significant disc pathology, spinal stenosis, radiculopathy, or facet arthropathy. Period. She had non-localized and tenderness palpation about the lumbar spine in the absence of spasm. Period. New paragraph, it should be noted, Ms. Jones admitted to having low back injuries and earlier motor vehicle accidents, but records pertaining to them were not available. Period. Accordingly, any abnormalities identified in the lumbar spine are contributed to at least in part by pre-existing conditions. Period. She does have some disability at the cervical spine, mostly from diffuse idiopathic DISH disease, skeletal hyperostosis. Period. There is 0% permanent partial total disability referable to the head or either shoulder. Period. And that is the end.